Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, I want to talk about how that a good person can still be lost. I believe one of the biggest misunderstandings in the religious world today is the thought that good people will be saved. There's no way that a good person can be lost. And I'm talking about saved eternally in heaven or lost eternally in hell. The thinking is that if I'm a good person, I'm going to be saved. But that is one of the biggest misunderstandings, I believe, in the religious world today. And we're going to turn to the scriptures to answer this issue and to deal with this issue. Friends, I'm here to tell you from the Word of God, give you some information that maybe you didn't know. And that is, a good person can still be lost. And we're going to provide the Bible examples of that so that you can consider that seriously. Because you might be thinking that, hey, I'm a good person and I'm going to be saved and go to heaven. There are many things that I have not done in the scriptures and that I'm not doing now that's in the scripture, but that's okay. I'm a good person and I'm going to be saved. And I want to talk about this. If we don't have time to get through all of these examples, we'll do it again on another program. There's several of these examples in the Word of God. And friends, the reason I'm doing this is very important. I'm not doing this to discourage you or to be negative. I'm doing this to inform you of something that you may not know. And I hope that you will appreciate that, as I appreciate when people inform me about things that I have misunderstood. I had a wrong idea about it, and they cleared it up with truth and with proper information. That has happened to me on a number of occasions. Maybe it has happened to you, and I appreciate the ones who do that. I've had mechanics tell me things about my car that I didn't realize. I had a particular thing in mind as to what is going on, whether something's good or bad, and they'll say, no, you don't really understand. Let me tell you what is going on. And I'm saying, well, I didn't know that. And I appreciate that. I've had doctors tell me that. A doctor can tell you something about your body and your health that maybe you were misinformed about, you had the wrong idea about, and they tell you something that is different than what you have always believed. I'm sure you appreciate that. There are other things like that. People that are specialized in a particular kind of work that they do. I've had a tax accountant or tax preparer tell me, hey, Chris, did you know such and such about your taxes? And I said, no, I didn't know that. This is something that they deal with every day. They know the tax law. They know what the law says, and they inform me about what the law says, not what I've always thought or felt, you see. So a mechanic, a doctor, a tax preparer, and a host of other individuals can set us straight on what we've believed about this or that. And I want to do that, friend, with the Word of God on the most important thing, more important than our car and our physical health and our taxes and anything else, is getting it right about the judgment day. So I want to talk about how that a good person can still be lost. That is a big misunderstanding among many, and it might be a misunderstanding that you have, and if it is, I hope to clarify and clear that up with the Word of God. So let's talk this morning on the program about some persons that are lost in the Word of God, despite how good they might be. So let me begin with this particular person. A person can have a good conscience and still be lost. A person can feel good about their thinking, what they've done in the past, how they've acted in the past, and they say to themselves, you know, I believe my conscience says that I am good and what I've done in the past is good, and I'm perfectly fine with how I'm living. And I agree with how I've acted in the past, and I believe God is going to save me. I'm here to tell you that a person can have a good conscience and still be lost. And I know that from the Bible. And the classic example is that of Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, if you'll turn with me there, he talks about his life. And he's before a Jewish group of men, and he says, Luke records that he was looking steadfastly on this Jewish council, and Paul said, "Brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day." I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. Paul could say, looking over his life, that he was doing what God wanted him to do. The problem is, when you look back over his life, and even he talks about his own past life, it's coming from his mouth, not mine, that he did things, looking back on it, that he realized were wrong and sinful, and he had sin in his life. It begins all the way back at the end of Acts chapter 7, when this Saul of Tarsus was standing and watching Stephen being stoned. And the ones who were stoning him took off their garments so that they were freer to throw the stones and maybe not even get blood on their outward garments. They laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, the text says. They laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, Acts 7:58. And he was consenting to their death, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, to his death, Stephen's death. He was going along with it. Saul consented to Stephen's death. He kept the garments of those who stoned him. Later, he would punish Christians and compel them, get them to blaspheme. He put Christians in prison and persecuted them. Just a few verses later, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. These are church members. These are Christians. Saul, as a young Jewish man, felt that it was his conscious duty, his God-given duty, to take Christians and drag them and put them in prison for going against Judaism, for going against the way he believed people ought to worship God and be right with God. These are people who are following Jesus Christ, someone else. They shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to put them in prison. And turn with me to Acts chapter 9, where Paul himself is brought into the picture here. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. We're going to find that by persecuting Christians, he's persecuting Christ himself. But the key here, friend, is he believed that he was doing this in good conscience. Just because you have a good conscience doesn't mean you're going to be saved. Saul of Tarsus had a good conscience, but he was lost. He had sin in his life. Let's pick up the reading in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. But Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Why did he do that? He believed in his conscience that that's what he needed to do. He went unto the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus unto the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, that is Christians who were following Jesus, the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was doing this in all good conscience. And as he journeyed, it came to pass, as he drew near unto Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven. And he fell upon the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. By persecuting the Christians, he was persecuting Jesus. But arise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Wait a minute. If he's fine with God and he has a clean conscience in all that he's doing, then he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to make any changes. He's perfectly fine with God. He's saved. No, he's not. And so here's a man who was raised a Jew. And there was a time when following Judaism and following the old law, not the way the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees interpreted it, but by the way it was properly given in the law of Moses, a Jew could be saved under that dispensation. But this is after Jesus Christ came. This is after he taught, established his new law, sent out the gospel plan of salvation to be saved through Jesus Christ, to be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. A person is saved that way now, no longer in that Old Testament Judaism. So, Saul of Tarsus has sin in his life, and he has to become a Christian like the rest of the world. So he's got to go do something to make a change in his life. Verse 8, and the men journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and did either drink nor eat. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. And he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many of this man, about this man, how much evil he did to the saints at Jerusalem. It was evil what he was doing. Remember, he believed that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was doing it in all good conscience. In fact, it was evil what he was doing. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Again, Christians. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. He's going to have to change and start preaching me. He's been persecuting me. Now he's going to have to preach my name to others. He's going to have to make a change. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's going to have to become a Christian and suffer as a Christian. There's going to have to be a change. And Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto thee in the way which thou came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and received his sight, and he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. When he recognized, Saul, that he was persecuting the Lord, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee. Although he was blind, and he also did not eat or drink for 3 days, he was praying, but in this state he was still lost. And he was still lost until he was baptized. And when Paul recounts this matter later in the book of Acts in his own words, in Acts chapter 22, he talks about this very thing. He recounts the same thing in substance that we read in chapter 9. And he goes through that now again. And when we get down to this point, Acts 22:16, Ananias says, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Saul of Tarsus had sin in his life. And some of that had to do with what he was doing to Christians. And it had to be washed away. So, number one, you can be a person with a good conscience and still be lost, just like Saul of Tarsus. So, friends, it's not a matter of I get up each day and I just feel good in my heart. I've got a clean conscience. No, our conscience has to match up with the truths of God's Word. From Saul's standpoint, he was doing all of this in good conscience. But from the standpoint of Ananias, the truth of the matter, he was doing evil against the saints that were at Jerusalem. That's a different take on it. That's what the Lord is saying about this matter. The Lord said that he was persecuting himself, Jesus. That's the truth of the matter. So the truth should inform us as to what we have really been doing. So we have, our conscience has to be guided by the truths of God's word. But there are so many people today in Clarksville and everywhere else that are living their lives. They have what they would call a good, clean conscience. I'm fine with where I'm at. And they are not fine at all. Based upon the truths of God's word, there is sin in their life that needs to be washed away in baptism. So, number one, a person can have a good conscience and still be lost. Let's talk about another kind of person. You can be a person that has many good, caring, and kind qualities and actions and still be lost. There are a lot of people that are nice to others. They are kind to others. They are good, law-abiding citizens. Just really great, what you might call salt of the earth, down home, you know, good folks. But they are lost. They're lost. They've got sin in their lives, and they're lost. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. How can that be? They're good persons. Well, we have an example of this in Scripture. Actually, we have several examples of this. I'm going to look at one, and his name is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We have this very thing. One reason why we are given the book of Acts is to tell us what kind of people need to become Christians. What kind of people need to become Christians? Well, the person who's got a clean conscience and a good conscience, he still needs to become a Christian. And the person who's just a good person, he's nice to others. And religious. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, the Apostle Peter is going to bring the gospel to the home of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. What kind of a person was this? Well, Luke records in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion, a Roman centurion, he's head of Roman soldiers, of the band, or the cohort, a company of Roman soldiers called the Italian band. Look at what this man was. In addition to being a Roman centurion, he was, one, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house. He was a Roman centurion, but he believed in the one true God, most likely through a conversion to God through Jews around him who taught him about the one true God. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. Now, here's the matter of him being good. He gave alms. In other words, he gave money to help people. He gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. Look at that. You look at this man from the outside and you're thinking, I can't find a finer man. Here's someone who is a Roman centurion. He's got a good job. And that's a very difficult world to be in. Roman soldiers could be very crass and crude and immoral and ungodly. And he believes in God and he prays to God always. And he takes some of his income and he gives it to people who need it. What a great person this is. A good person. And he was. But he was lost. Do you know that? When you read the rest of chapter 10, Peter preached the gospel to him. In fact, we don't have time to read the whole story, but he gets to the point of preaching the gospel to him in Acts chapter 10, and he preaches a sermon about Jesus, verses 34 through 43, and the very last thing he says in this sermon is, to him, Jesus, bear all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus' name, everyone that believes on him shall receive remission of sins. Well, wait a minute. If Cornelius was a good person, he was saved. No, he was a good person, but he and his household had sins in their life, and they needed to believe on Jesus in order to have remission of sins. And that is going to happen when they're baptized into Christ. And so Peter commands them in verse 48 to be baptized. Jesus said in giving the Great Commission, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So here we have it, verse 43, everyone that believes, verse 48, commanded him to be baptized, they would be saved. But he's a good person. He's a good person. Cornelius, in fact, was probably a very unusual man, especially being a Roman centurion. He was probably not in the majority. He was a devout person, one who is sincere, devoted to religious matters, a God believer. And he expressed his religious beliefs in devotion and piety. He feared God. This is something that is found in both Testaments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this quality is to be respected and admired. There aren't many men who would do this, and on top of that, give much alms to the poor. Look at that again in verse 2, much alms. He wasn't stingy. There are a lot of people that pray, but they won't pray to the one true God. There are a lot of people who have fear, but they won't fear God. There's a lot of people who have money, but they won't give it away in charity. How unusual this man must have been in many ways. How would you classify this man, friend? Reading verses 1 and 2 again, how would you classify this man? You would say, well, man, that guy's saved. Fears God and prays to God, and he's doing all this good stuff. Surely he's saved. Most people, I believe, would classify him as being a saved man. But do you know he was a lost man? He was not saved. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 14 when Peter is recounting this very matter. And he's talking about how that he was sent to preach to Cornelius. Acts 11 and verse 11. And behold, forthwith three men stood before the house in which we were, having been sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, making no distinction. And these six brethren also accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, that is Cornelius's house, and he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter. Look at this in your Bible very carefully. Who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy household. He was not saved until he heard these words and acted upon what the words were. The words included believing on Jesus and being commanded to be baptized. Those were the words that would lead Cornelius and his household to be saved. Friends, he was lost, but he was a good person. So, I'm trying to take the Word of God and inform you with it about something that many people have a great misunderstanding about. Just like I'm glad that my mechanic will do that and my doctor and other people, I'm sure you're thankful for people doing that. And I hope that you will approach this topic in the same way. Hey, I'm getting information that I've never heard before from the Word of God about how that people are actually lost. The people that I thought would be saved, they're actually lost. I'm hearing that, and maybe for the first time, so that I can be better informed and not go through life with this big misunderstanding. It'll be too late in the judgment day to correct it. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to upset somebody's world in that sense and be mean. I'm just like the mechanic, informing you about this is what is actually going on. And this is what is actually going on, that a person with a good conscience can be lost, and a person with many good qualities in his life can be lost. We have to hear the saving message of the gospel, believe it, and be baptized in order to be saved. And we're not saved until we've done that. We're not saved based upon consciences, and we're not saved based upon good deeds toward others. Well, we'll have just a few minutes to get into this next one, and then we will have to close. But that's fine. We can pick up there, Lord willing, next week. Number three, a person can be religious. And we've somewhat touched on this with Saul and Cornelius, but a person can be religious and be a religious worshiper, a worshiper of God, and be lost. Again, we're looking at examples in the book of Acts. If you'll come back with me to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. The word devout there means, again, a God-fearer. God-fearer. And they were there to worship on the day of Pentecost. They were there in Jerusalem to worship God. They were not there for sightseeing. They were not there for vacation. They had come as devout Jews from all different places. And Peter preached to them, and he said to them, "You by the hands of lawless men have crucified Jesus, this Jesus whom you have crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, "What shall we do?" Well, wait a minute. I thought they were devout men worshiping God in Jerusalem. They don't have to do anything other than what they're doing. And Peter says, "No, you have to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto or for the remission of your sins." Oh, they've got sins in their life. I thought they were devout persons there worshiping God. They were, but there was sin in their life, and the only way to remove that is to repent, turn your life around, change your life, turn back away from that life of sin, and have it washed away in baptism. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He exhorted them, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation," verse 40. They were not saved. They were devout. They were God-fearers. They were worshiping God, but they had sins in their life. They needed to be saved. And so they that received his word were baptized, about 3,000 souls. Friends, we actually have different examples of that in the book of Acts, where people are religious. We'll look at some more of those, Lord willing, next week. Friends, being saved means being saved on God's terms of salvation, God's plan of salvation, God's steps of salvation, not on just what we think or feel about something. What we think or feel can be completely misleading about our car and our health and other kinds of things. Let's get the facts on the matter. We don't want to be lost. We want to be saved, and we're learning how that we can do that. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.